Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 9. We're going to think this morning about living as a disciple. We've gotten a glimpse of that already as Blake shared with the children. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 9 in a moment. Prison officials spotted the man, and when they did, they thought they had a jailbreak, but actually the man was attempting something much more rare, a break-in. The man who had just completed a 2-year sentence for theft says he missed life on the inside. Life is much easier on the inside, he said. They feed you, do your washing, and let you watch TV, which I can tell you is a lot more than my mother does. So I thought if I could sneak back in, I would blend in with the others and the guards wouldn't notice. He wanted to live as a prisoner, but not really be one. He wanted everyone to think he was a prisoner without really being responsible for what was going on. And so I wonder, are there people across this country in churches this morning who want to live looking like a disciple, with all the benefits of belonging, without being a disciple? Do they want people to think they are a disciple without being one? What does it mean to truly be a disciple of Christ? What does being a true disciple mean about how one should treat others? We're to live as a disciple. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 9 through 17. As Jesus went on from there, and there was Capernaum. That was what had become his hometown, his base of operations. And he had left there and had gone on. He went on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him asking, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." What does it mean to live as a disciple? Living as a disciple means following Jesus. It's very simple, yet the word in words, but the whole impact is profound. Being a true disciple of Jesus means following him, not just believing in him. You know, we get to using words, and sometimes we so dumb them down, if you would allow me to use that expression. We so cheapen what they mean that they don't mean anything anymore. For us to say that we believe in Jesus is more than to say, "Oh yeah, he's God." No, to believe in Jesus means that everything about him changes everything about me. And so that's what the disciple Matthew was being called to. He was being called to let everything about his life change. Because the ultimate issue in the universe is not leadership, It is leadership, not believership. The ultimate issue is not believership in terms of what we say we assent to. The ultimate issue is leadership. Who you follow and what directs your life is the single most important thing about you. It's not your Social Security number. Listening to the radio for some time in the last couple weeks, there's more than one company that says they'll protect your identity. The one issue that I want to challenge you to is, what is your identity? Are you a follower of Christ? We are to come to think like, act like, and become like Jesus. It is not to say that I agree that He is God. It is to let Him change who we are. And so being a disciple means following Jesus. Jesus has gone out of Capernaum. He's crossed over the Sea of Galilee. He comes to a toll booth where Matthew is collecting taxes. And He says, "You follow Me." Matthew gets up and goes. He gets up and goes. Here's a guy who had obligations. He was running this customs house. He was running this tax booth. He was collecting tolls. He had gotten this great job. He had come into a contract with the Roman government. And he got to do that, but he left it immediately. And Matthew followed completely. He had a lucrative business. Man, he had it made. And he says, "I'm going to leave all that and follow Jesus." He left it all to follow. He resolved the issue of leadership and believership, and he would follow Jesus. Jan David Hedinga has pastored North Shore Baptist Church up in the Seattle area. He tells of a man venting to him after a Bible study one night. Dan was the man's name, and he had followed the pastor into his study to talk a little more. This is what Dan said. "This is what always bothers me about these neat little Bible studies. They get out of hand. We do a nice little fill-in-the-blank lesson and learn more about God, and then what happens? Someone can't let well enough alone. He has to ask what the biblical ideas are actually supposed to accomplish in his life. Why can't people just be satisfied with just finding out what the Bible says and believing it? Why do we have to make a big deal out of application?" So as the pastor encouraged Dan to go on, Dan said, "Tonight I realized that I was a believer, but not a follower of Christ. Intellectually, I don't have a problem with the material in Scripture, but permitting it to actually change me, well, that's a different matter." The pastor consoled him. "Believing has always come easier than obeying for me, too. If your experience is anything like mine, following Jesus will continue to be the pivotal issue in your Christian life. Are you following Christ?" If you were to believe in Jesus but not follow Him, you would be cynical about church and the possibility of the Christian life actually working. If you were to believe in Jesus but not follow Him, you could cover the fact that you were spiritually empty, dry, and unsatisfied. You would tend to be passive and apathetic. If you believed in Jesus but not follow Him, you would have good intentions but lack follow-through. If you were to believe in Jesus but not follow Him, you'd be focused on yourself, your needs, your rights, your options. You'd prefer being a spectator, watching, listening, but not really participating. If you were to believe in Jesus but not follow Him, you'd go through the motions, doing what is expected, more out of habit than anything else. And you would experience the frustration of trying to have the best of both worlds, attempting to serve two masters, Jesus and someone or something else. This morning, are you a believer or a follower? Are you a believer? Oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus came at Christmas. Oh, yes, I believe that Easter is all about the death of Jesus. But are you a follower? Are you a follower? Can others see a change, a difference in you? Is there something about after Christ that is different than before Christ? If there's not been a change, I don't care how good you were. If there is not something of a change, then are you a believer? Or are you truly a follower? Are you thinking like, acting like, and becoming like Jesus more and more? Have you allowed Scripture and Jesus to change you? Are you living as a disciple? Living as a disciple means seeing others as Jesus does. Being a true disciple of Jesus means looking at others and seeing what they were meant to be and wanting the best for them. Jesus saw people he wanted a relationship with. Matthew invites Jesus to dinner, and Jesus invites along tax gatherers and sinners. Now, you got to understand, tax collectors were people that the Jews hated. These were people that had sold out to the Roman government. These were people that were Jewish people, but they were turncoats. And the sinners, well, you understand who they are. They're those people. Act like those people do. And so here they are. Matthew is there hosting the dinner, and Jesus is in the middle of them. And Jesus was glad to dine with them because he saw what they could become, not what they had become. And the Pharisees couldn't believe it, because they were about the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. They were about what people could see. They were about acting a certain way and dressing a certain way and being a certain way on the outside, but their hearts were completely unlike Christ. And Jesus looked at those people and said, I see them for who they could become. We're to do that way. Jesus wanted to help them, these people that he had compassion for. So he overhears the Pharisees' questions, and he asks them what it is that needs a physician. Who is it that needs a physician? He said, do the well people go to the doctor? Well, no, only the sick people. The healthy people don't need a physician. They were the responsible people, respectable members of society. And then Jesus chides them about not getting the point of Hosea 6, that God desires compassion from a person rather than ritual worship. Compassion. How compassionate are you? How compassionate? Wanting the best. Loving others as Christ loves others. How compassionate are you? Do you get that it's about the heart and not whatever your eyes can see? Jim Collins wrote a book called Built to Last about great companies. He wrote the book about companies that were always great. One day a man talked to him about the book, and the man said, you know, Jim, we love Built to Last around here. You and your co-author did a fine job on the research and writing. Unfortunately, it's useless. The companies you wrote about were, for the most part, always great. They never had to turn themselves from good companies to great companies. And so he rewrote part of the book, and later in the book, Collins describes Darwin E. Smith, who took over Kimberly-Clark in 1971. Kimberly-Clark was a good company, but not a great one. It took Smith to see the company for what it could become to turn it into a great company. Do you see others for what they could become? When you look at other people, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see what they're wearing? Oftentimes, we tend to look at and see what people have done to their bodies. Piercings and tattoos, and none of that matters. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. When you look at people who don't look like you or even act like you, do you only see what sin has caused them to become, or do you see what Christ can make them to become? Do you look at others with compassion, or does pride and all that cause you to puff yourself up and think, well, they're so stupid, they're just getting what they deserve? Are you willing to befriend people? See them as Jesus does? Are you living as a disciple? Living as a disciple means rejoicing in Christ's presence. We're to follow Jesus in what we think, how we act, what we become. We're to follow Jesus. We're to see others as Jesus does. Then we're to rejoice in Christ's presence. Being a true disciple means wanting Jesus more than what he can do for you. Do you want Jesus himself more than what he can do for you? John's disciples come. They begin to question Jesus' disciples. And they question the disciples' behavior. Why didn't they fast? Why didn't they do all the things that they're supposed to do? And they said, look, fasting may have been appropriate in the preparation of the coming of the Messiah, but not now, because the Messiah is here. The King was here. The kingdom of God was here. And so Jesus alludes to Hosea chapter 2, calling himself the bridegroom. And he asserts his divinity and he says, look, while the bridegroom is with us, we don't fast. We rejoice. And so we're to rejoice in the presence of the bridegroom. Rejoice in the presence of God. And then he goes on to tell two illustrations of the incompatibility of the old age, the what it's all about in terms of looking like, and to what it's about now, because it's about the heart. He says, look, you don't put a patch of new unshrunk cloth on an old garment, because it'll shrink up and tear. You don't put new wine into old wineskins, because as the grape juice ferments, it's going to explode the wineskin, and then everything's lost. We are to rejoice today in the presence of Christ. I'm of an age that, as a father, I got to go in when my children were born. You know, my dad was of the age that waited outside. I could remember in my mind's eye what my three kids looked like when they were born. I remember how I felt love for them and still do. I remember I was glad to hold them. I was glad to take care of them. I loved them for themselves, not for what they might or might not be able to do for me one day. Just like you should love Jesus. Rejoicing to be in his presence, not what he can do for you. So are you glad this day just to know God through Jesus our Lord, to be in his presence? Or are you more glad about what he can do for you? Did you come hoping today that God would be like that and do something in your life? Are you living as a disciple? What have you been challenged with this day about living as a disciple? Are you following Jesus? Are you thinking like, acting like, becoming like Christ? Do you see others as Jesus does? What they can become? Do you want to be in his presence? Are you living? as a disciple.